Roman labor correspondent, Willie Terry for the Hudson Mohawk Magazine Network. And I'm here today in the streets of Albany at the Malcolm X Community Park. May 19, 1925 was the birthday of Malcolm X. Now, who was Malcolm X? Malcolm X was a fiery and controversial black leader in the 20th century. Now, he was born May 19, 1925, and he was assassinated on February the 21st, 1965. And during that time, he was minister in the Nation of Islam. Now, Malcolm wasn't a civil rights leader. He was a human rights leader. He was a courageous advocate for the rights of black people. He indicted, through his speeches, white America in blunt, colorful language, for its crime against black Americans. Now, he was accused of preaching racism and violence, but Malcolm X never was involved in any violence, and he always said he didn't believe in any form of racism. Malcolm had a profound influence on both blacks and whites. Black Americans considered him a man of the people, and he has been called one of the greatest and most influential African-American in history. And his influence is still being felt today. And in this segment today, on Malcolm X's birthday, you will hear Malcolm, in his own words, some excerpts from a speech entitled, The Last Message, The Last Message of Malcolm X.
Pleased to see so many who have come out to always see for yourself, where you can hear for yourself and then think for yourself, then you'll be in a better position to make an intelligent judgment for yourself. But if you form the habit of listening to what others say about something or someone, or reading what someone else has written about someone, somebody can confuse you and misuse you. So as Afro-Americans or black people here in the Western Hemisphere, you and I have to learn to weigh things for ourselves. No matter what the man says, you better look into it. And a good example of why it's so important to look into things for yourself. I was on a plane between Algiers and Geneva, and it just happened that two other Americans were sitting in the two seats next to me. None of us knew each other. And the other two were white, one a male, the other a female. And after we had been flying along for about 40 minutes, the lady, she says, "Could I ask you a personal question?" I said, "Yes." She said, well, she had been looking at my briefcase, and she said, "Well, what does that X?" She says, "What kind of last name could you have that begins with X?" So I said, "That's it, X." And she said, "Well, what does the M stand for?" I said, "Malcolm." So she was quiet for about 10 minutes. And she turned to me and she says, "You're not Malcolm X." You see, we had been riding along in a nice conversation, like three human beings, you know, no hostility and no animosity, just human. And she couldn't take this. She said, "Well, you're not who I was looking for, you know?" And she ended up telling me that she was looking for horns and all that, and for someone who was out to kill all white people, as if all white people could be killed. This was her general attitude, and this attitude had been given her, this image had been given her by the press. So before I get involved in anything nowadays, I have to straighten out my own position, and which is clear, I am not a racist in any form whatsoever. I don't believe in any form of racism. I don't believe in any form of discrimination or segregation. I believe in Islam. I'm a Muslim, and there's nothing wrong with being a Muslim. Nothing wrong with the religion of Islam. That just teaches us to believe in Allah as the God, and those of you who are Christians probably believe in the same God. Because I think you believe in the God who created the universe, and that's the one we believe in, the one who created the universe. The only difference being, you call him God, and we call him Allah. Jews call him Jehovah. If you could understand Hebrew, you'd probably call him Jehovah too. If you could understand Arabic, you'd probably call him Allah. But since the white man, your friend, took your language away from you during slavery, the only language you know is his language, you know, your friend's language. So you call him, you call for the same God he calls for. When he's putting a rope around your neck, you call for God, he calls for God. And you wonder why the one you called on never answers you. So that once you realize that I believe in the supreme being who created the universe and believe in him as being one, I also have been taught in Islam that one God who only has one religion, and that religion is called Islam, and all of the prophets who came forth taught that religion. Abraham, Moses, Jesus, Muhammad, all of them. And by believing in one God and one religion and all of the prophets, it creates unity. There's no room for argument, no need for us to be arguing with each other. But the real religion of Islam doesn't teach anyone to judge another human being by the color of his skin. The yardstick that is used by the Muslim to measure another man is not the man's color, but the man's deeds, the man's conscious behavior, the man's intentions. And when you use that as a standard of measurement or judgment, you never go wrong. But when you just judge a man because of the color of his skin, then you're committing a crime, because that's the worst kind of judgment. If you judge him just because he was a Jew, that's not as bad as judging him because he's black. Because a Jew can hide his religion. He can say he's something else, and which a lot of them do that. They say they're something else. But the black man can't hide. When they start indicting us because of our color, that means we're indicted before we're born, which is the worst kind of crime that can be committed. And the Muslim religion has eliminated all tendencies to judge a man according to the color of his skin, but rather the judgment is based upon his deeds. They went to Mecca and saw these people who were blind and blue-eyed and pale skin and all those things. I said, well, but I watched them closely, and I noticed that there was, though they were white, and they would call themselves white, there was a difference between them and the white one over here. And that basic difference was this. In Asia or the Arab world or in Africa, where the Muslims are, if you find one who says he's white, all he's doing is using an adjective which to describe something that's incidental about him, one of his incidental characteristics. So there's nothing else to it, he's just white. But when you get the white man over here in America and he says he's white, he means something else. You can listen to the sound of his voice when he says he's white. He means he's boss. That's right. That's what white means in this language. If you know the expression free, white, and 21, he made that up. He's letting you know all of them mean the same. White means free, boss. He's up there. So that when he says he's white, he has a little different sound in his voice. And I know you know what I'm talking about. This was what I saw was missing in the Muslim world. If they said they were white, it was incidental. White, black, brown, red, yellow. It doesn't make any difference what color you are. And so this was the religion that I had accepted and had gone there to get a better knowledge of it. But despite the fact that I saw that Islam was a religion of brotherhood, I also had to face reality. And when I get back into this American society, I'm not in a society that practices brotherhood. I'm in a society that might preach it on Sunday, but they don't practice it on any day. And so since I could see that America itself is a society where there is no brotherhood, and that this society is controlled primarily by racists and segregationists, and it is, who are in Washington, D.C. in positions of power, and from Washington, D.C. they exercise the same forms of brutal oppression against dark-skinned people in South and North Vietnam, or in the Congo, or in Cuba, or in any other place on this earth where they're trying to exploit and oppress. This is a society whose government doesn't hesitate to inflict the most brutal form of punishment and oppression upon dark-skinned people all over the world. To wit, right now, what's going on in and around Saigon and Hanoi, and in the Congo, and in elsewhere. They are violent when their interests are at stake. But all of that violence that they display at the international level, when you and I want just a little bit of freedom, we're supposed to be nonviolent. They're violent. They're violent in Korea. They're violent in Germany. They're violent in the South Pacific. They're violent in Cuba. They're violent wherever they go. But when it comes time for you and me to protect ourselves against lynchers, they tell us to be nonviolent.